Some people just don't deserve forgiveness. Yet, when Jesus was asked by his friends, the disciple, "Teach us to pray," he said, "Pray like this. Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." So how do we forgive? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? In my life, there have been people who have injured me, but my pain is nothing compared to what Corrie ten Boom had to do one day when God asked her to do the unimaginable. Corrie and her dad were watchmakers in Holland. They loved God and they loved his people. And so when the Nazis came into Holland, they hid Jewish people in their home. There's a book called The Hiding Place that explains what happened, but one day they were caught and they were brought to a concentration camp, and Corrie survived, but her father and her sister did not. After she was released from the concentration camp, because God had shown up even in that dark place, she began to travel the world and explain the great love of God and how his presence was with her and her sister in those dark times. And one night, she had traveled from Holland to a church in Munich, and she saw him. She had been speaking about her favorite description of the love of God. She said it was a truth they needed to hear, and she loves this mental picture that when we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. As she finished her time with them, their solemn faces looked back at her, and in silence, the room emptied with people grabbing their things and going, but across the room, coming towards her, she saw him. At that moment, he was wearing a brown coat and carrying a hat, but in her mind's eye, he was wearing a blue uniform and a hat with skull and crossbones. And a rush came over her as she remembered standing in that room where there were dresses and shoes in the middle, and the shame of walking past him naked, and her sister's frail frame in front of her. The man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp, and now he was in front of her. And he came to her with his hand extended. "Fräulein, what good news it is that you tell us that our sins are now cast into the ocean at the bottom of the sea." And Corrie realized that she had spoken glibly of forgiveness, and she began to play with her pocketbook rather than extend his hand. How could he remember her, one woman among thousands? But she remembered him. She remembered the leather crop that swung from his belt, and here she was face to face with one of her captors, and her blood was turning cold. He said to her, "You remember, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your time with us. I was there. Do you remember me?" He said, "Good news. I have become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for all the cruel things that I have done. But Fräulein, I would love to hear from your lips. Do you forgive me as well?" And Corrie said she stood there, she who again and again had been forgiven of her sins, and she realized she couldn't forgive him. Her sister Betsy had died. Did he think he could erase Betsy's slow, terrible, painful death just by asking for forgiveness? She knew that it was probably seconds that they stood there. To her, it seemed like hours as she wrestled with the most important and difficult thing she ever had to do. But she knew she had to do it. She knew forgiveness is not an emotion, it's an act of the will. And she knew it not just from Scripture, but she had been walking aside people who had left the concentration camp, and two things were happening. Either they were bitter and their souls were dying and they were becoming invalids, or they had released their captors and forgiven, and they were returning to life no matter what their physical scars were. And so she stood there realizing that she still had coldness in her heart. And she did what many of us have done in those moments of emergency where we just spring up a prayer to God. And she put her hand out and said, "Help me. Help me, Jesus. I can lift my hand, but that is all I can do." And so she thrust her hand into his. I heard this story 25 years ago for the first time, and it has stayed with me for this moment. As her hand touched his hand, she felt warmth start in her shoulder, go down her arm to her hand as they clutched. She said healing warmth overwhelmed her whole being. Tears came to her eyes, and she said, "I forgive you, brother." And for a moment, they grasped hands, the former guard and the former prisoner, and she said, I have never known God's love so intensely as I did that moment. That story has stayed with me for over 2 decades and reminds me that we can choose to forgive. And when we do, we are no longer slaves. God sets us free. But praying for forgiveness is not something we do once. We need to pray every day, many times a day, because we need Jesus. Last week, Emma shared with us, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, Jesus. If you have not been with us these last few weeks, we're in a series called 40 Days, where we're looking at the prayer that many call the Lord's Prayer. And our first week together, Mike reminded us to pray, sometimes with words, but sometimes have you been there without words, where the Spirit is interceding for you with groaning? That's his promise. But pray, just pray, and pray first. See, to me, that's a reminder. Many times I tried to fix things and then pray, and God says, no, pray and pray first. Then John reminded us that God is holy, and we need to recognize his holiness and respond to it with worship. And then finally, last week when Emma joined with us, she said, we need to pray each day, and we can ask God for our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, Jesus. And what I loved at the end of her time with us is she reminded us that that is what we are doing. We are being God's hands and feet to people right now who are praying in the Dominican Republic for God to provide their daily need. And that's what we get to do. We get to be his hands and feet as we go out into the world. So we continue today in Luke 11. In verse 1, it said, Jesus was in a certain place praying. And as he finished, one of his disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, this is how you should pray. So today we'll begin, as we have each week, by praying this prayer together. Will you join me? Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. The series is changing my heart, and I hope it's changing yours as you realize the power of this prayer and the power of every day recognizing our need for Jesus. Pray, just pray, and pray first. You know, it's a good reminder to me that this is why we come together. We come together to be reminded of the truth, and the truth is that God has asked us to forgive. But I want you to leave today knowing this: forgiveness is not foolishness. If you're taking notes, this is the big idea. Forgiveness is not foolishness. When we choose to forgive, the kingdom of God advances. And the kingdom of God advancing is why we are so excited about the seeds on your seat. They were prayed for last Tuesday in our prayer time, because we believe that God is opening the hearts of people that you love who are far from him. That's why this church exists. We want to help people find their way back to God. And it may be this church, it may be a different church, but God is going to put someone on your heart, and then you need his power to go and give him this invitation. But as we think about forgiveness today, have you ever thought, what does forgiveness mean? Many of you have learned this prayer since you were a child and prayed it over and over, but have we thought of what these words mean? What does forgive mean? Forgiveness means to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong. It means to stop blaming someone, and it means to stop requiring payment for something. See, forgiveness has a lot of facets. We're only going to deal with one today. How do we choose to forgive rather than require those who have injured us to repay us? How do we do that? So what comes to your mind when you think about forgiveness? When we say this phrase, forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who sin against us. Have you been forgiven for something? See, that's why we sit here. That's the good news. Jesus Christ has paid it all. You have been forgiven. We come together to remind each other of this, that the things that we say and we do have separated us from God, but Jesus has reconciled us to him. Yet we live on this earth and we continue to say and do things that injure each other. And so we are called to daily forgive. And forgiveness means we recognize that God is the judge and we are not, because we cannot do it as he does. He alone can judge with righteousness and with justice. We forgive because God freely forgives us, not because we deserve it. His love and his forgiveness, it's an undeserved gift. And forgiveness starts when we freely receive God's forgiveness. If you are sitting here today and you have never done that, we will be here at the end of service. Come pray with us. Receive God's forgiveness. Forgiveness also happens when we understand that what God has done for us is something we could never have done for ourselves. And so we extend forgiveness to others. It is not foolishness to forgive. However, and this is so important, hear me when I say this. Do not confuse forgiveness with abuse. I grew up in the church. I had an alcoholic dad who was abusive and loved Jesus. Both were true. And the problem was, I always wanted my church to come alongside us and help him take better steps. Because forgiveness does not mean being near people who injure us. And so at Harbor, we offer things like boundaries classes. We have a recovery group that you could come on Wednesday night and be among other people. If you are being injured, there are people in our compassionate care team who want to help you. You have to take the first step. Come and tell us. Write it on your connection card. Someone will meet with you. Come to our prayer night, Tuesday nights at 7:30, one room over. Forgiveness does not mean we live with someone who's injuring us. And if you are injuring somebody, the pain in your soul is so deep that you're hurting others, we're asking you to come and be healed, to accept the precious love of Jesus. Join our recovery group. We have AA on Monday nights. I need you to know that forgiveness and boundaries need to be together. I don't want you to leave today not knowing that. But forgiveness is choosing to let God be the judge and to release the power to hurt someone back. Forgiveness is not foolishness. It's a choice we make when we believe God. And it matters. Just this morning, I prayed with people. If you are sitting in a place today where you have not forgiven yourself or received the forgiving love of Jesus, you are injuring those near you. Release that. Believe in the forgiving power of Jesus. When we live in unforgiveness, it leads to sickness. It leads to anxiety. It literally leads to the death of our soul and our body. And that is why Jesus told us, when you pray, pray like this. He loves us. And he came to give us life that was abundant. And we are not wrong or foolish to forgive. Forgiveness, though, is a choice. So how do we choose this? The good news is we're not left to figure this out on our own. That's why Jesus came, why he sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, and why he gave us these words. When they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, pray like this. And Jesus knew. Prayer was a lifeline for him. He was in prayer in the morning, in the evening, with his heavenly Father. So in this prayer, we have the words to pray. Father, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. A few years ago, my friend Sharon gave me a book that has impacted my understanding of forgiveness. It's called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall, and it changed my life. And for R.T. Kendall, the key for him was choosing to start each day with a passage from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 37, it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And every day of his life, this pastor reads this scripture, and it reminds him who he is, forgiven and dearly loved. Forgive and be forgiven. One key to forgiveness is realizing that we need to ask daily for God's provision. Do you realize today that forgiveness is a daily need? We need to pray to forgive. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Have you done that? It changes the future. The kingdom of God advances when we are obedient. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And so I've begun to do this. I've begun to pray. I've begun to realize when I feel hurt that I should pray for the person who hurt me. And the verse that I use comes from the book of Numbers chapter 4. It's one of my favorite verses in scripture. It's the verse we pray over each child when we have child dedication and they come to the front here and our church comes alongside these parents and we celebrate these children and we say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine on you. May he give you his peace. It's the prayer I pray for my children each day. And when my soul feels injured by someone, this is the prayer I pray. I put their name and say, God, would you bless them? Would you keep them? Would you make your face shine on them? And would you give them your peace? Because often when we're injuring each other, we don't feel the love of God. We don't feel peace. And so we can ask God to send his peace. And so as Mike said, pray each day with words, without words. The Holy Spirit can intercede for you. Some of you are sitting here today and it is a close relative who has injured you over and over and over. And for others of you, it's a complete stranger. And there may be days you don't remember the injury. And then something happens and it triggers and you think, I forgave them. Why are the feelings still here? And this is why Jesus said daily we are called to forgive. Each time that pain returns, go back to the Lord's Prayer and pray, Father, forgive us as we forgive them. R.T. Kendall says, if we want peace, we need to forgive over and over today, tomorrow, this year, and next year. It is a never-ending part of our spiritual walk. Forgiveness is a lifelong commitment. Some days will be easier than others. Some moments will be easier than others. Sitting in this place in the presence of God, it's easier to believe and obey, and then we'll go out and someone will say or do something, and we'll need to go back to this prayer, Father, forgive them as you forgive us. Because forgiveness is an integral part of love. We are not free to love others if we're holding off a part of our heart with resentment and with bitterness. And I don't know what all of you have walked through. I know sometimes those of us standing up here, it looks like our lives are easy and simple, but I promise you, we've had people that we need to pray for forgiveness too. We've walked through pain. And it might seem like the smart thing to do would just be to guard our heart so it doesn't happen again. Learn the first time and don't let it happen again. But the truth is, that is not what's best. It's foolishness. And Jesus, he understood how important forgiveness is. In the book of Mark chapter 12, I want to share what he said. When a teacher of the Jewish law came to him and said, which commandment is the greatest of all? There were so many commandments. Which is the greatest of all? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your heart and with your soul, with your mind and with your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, some of us are sitting here today and we do not love ourselves. We believe that we have done or said something that has separated us from God and we can never be reconciled, and that is not true. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So we have to start by first going to Jesus and being forgiven, and then we need to forgive others and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. How important is forgiveness? See, I can't think of anything 2,000 years ago that would have been harder than to be a paralyzed person. There were no social programs around you. There was no way for you to be okay. And in the book of Luke chapter 5, we see an amazing story around forgiveness. It says, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came and they were bringing to him a paralyzed man. He was carried by four of them, and since they could not get him to Jesus through the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. They were digging through it, and then they lowered the man on the mat to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to that man on the mat, son, your sins are forgiven. Now imagine the scene, the faith that was required to go to the roof and to dig through it and to lower the man down. What if he fell and would have been more injured than before? What if he wasn't healed? What if they went through all this trouble and he was just laying there, unable to move? But they had the faith that if they could bring their friend to Jesus, Jesus would heal him. And when they did, when Jesus noticed him, what does he say? He does not say, you are healed. He said, you are forgiven. He knew what the greater need was. Do we realize that sitting here today? The great gospel is this, that our sins have been forgiven. Verse 6 says, now teachers of the law were sitting there and they were thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And so the man got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, have we ever seen anything like this? See, Jesus knew that to heal this man physically would not be enough. Some Bible scholars believe that's because back then a lot of people thought that if you were blind or paralyzed, it was because of sin, it was something you had done. Other scholars say it's because he needed these teachers of the law to understand who he was, that he has the authority to forgive sins. But I think of this boy as a mom. I imagine if his mother was there, what she was thinking. They finally got her boy to Jesus, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And all she probably wanted was for him to stand up. See, many of us right now are in relationship with someone, and we're praying for these specific healings where what that person needs is to understand the forgiveness of God. That is where we need to begin today. We need to, if we need to forgive ourselves, if they need to be forgiven, give up the burden we've been carrying and let God be God. There is no other way to do life. We must forgive. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And he offered this as a free gift, not anything we have done. We are forgiven because Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. And when we believe this, when we know we are forgiven freely, then we forgive freely. Now see, I know the character of God. I know how great his love is for us. So I know he is not asking us to forgive in order to make us miserable. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And he asks us to forgive because it is not our job to judge. We cannot do it with righteousness and justice. Only God can. And so to forgive requires faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. And so today, that first step of faith is, do we believe God is good? Can we trust him with our pain? Can we believe him when he says, do this? Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. So maybe today, your first step is to ask God, will you give me the faith to forgive? One of my favorite stories in the Gospels is when a man comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, do you believe? And he says, yes. Help me overcome my unbelief. I love that. That is me. Yes, I believe, Jesus. I need your help to overcome my unbelief. Yes, I forgive you, Jesus. Give me the power to forgive. But when we begin to choose to obey God, we might need to do it by choosing a verse. R.T. Kendall pointed out a verse in Luke. There's a verse in Numbers that speaks to me. Maybe there's a verse that speaks to you, that every day you start the day with Jesus, believing what he says, and it becomes a practice. Becomes something we do often enough that soon we begin to want to pray for our enemies. See, this is the upside-down world of the kingdom of God. We've spoken about it last month when we talked about money. Somehow, when God puts resources in our hands and we invest them in the kingdom of God, there's enough. That little boy who brought his loaves and fishes, he had enough to eat himself, but he invested it in God's hands and he multiplied it and there was enough. When we do not guard our hearts, but we forgive because we've been forgiven, God does amazing things. And the truth is, we cannot judge. Part of the reason that we cannot hold on to unforgiveness is we are wrong when we think that our unforgiving spirit affects other people. Have you ever done this? It's the middle of the night and you cannot sleep because someone has injured you. And in your head, you are having a long conversation with them. And they're in their own bed sleeping well. We cannot do this. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. See, Corrie ten Boom had a big decision that day. She took a big step of faith by just taking her hand and putting it out. And you know what God did with that small seed of faith? He multiplied it. Corrie lived until 1983. And she traveled the world, and she spoke of the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God in a way that no one else could. And lives were changed, and the kingdom of God advanced. But we have no greater example of this truth of forgiveness than Jesus himself. Because in Mark chapter 15, verses 29 and 30, we see Jesus hanging on a cross with a criminal to his left and to his right. They went to a place called the Skull, and they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And below him, the people were saying, crucify him. Those same people who on Palm Sunday had tried to make him king. And what does Jesus say? He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. But the reason we are here today is that story does not end on the cross. When Jesus entered our world, he stepped into our brokenness. He destroyed the power of sin. On that day when he walked out of the tomb, that is what we celebrate. That's why the seeds are in your hands. Do you want someone to know that good news? He is not dead. He is alive, and the Holy Spirit in us gives us the power to forgive. He is restoring broken things in this world. A few moments ago, we sang a song that we'll sing again. I want to highlight these words. So when you sing them, they come from all of who you are, from death to life, from wrong to right. He is making all things beautiful because mercy triumphs over judgment. And we see mercy in Acts 2. Peter is now preaching to many of the people who were there when Jesus was crucified, those who were yelling, "Crucify him." In Acts chapter 2, we see God move as he does. Acts 2, verses 36 to 41. So everyone in Israel, Peter is saying, know for certain that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this promise is to you and to your children and to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." And then Peter continued to preach for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And what happened as Peter spoke the truth? Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, 3,000 in all. See, that is why we are here together, why you and I are a priesthood of believers. We get to proclaim the good news that Jesus has taken every sin of mine, every thought, every word, every deed that has separated me from the love of God. And God loves you. He made you on purpose for a purpose, and his desire is that you would be reconciled to him. You would accept this forgiveness that is freely given. And so maybe your prayer today is simply this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you forgive my sins. Help me forgive those who sin against me. You know, I started our day with a pretty scary sentence, didn't I? Some people don't deserve to be forgiven. Who came to your mind? A child abuser? A murderer? An unkind relative? A friend who's now your enemy? Have you ever deep in your heart thought they just don't deserve forgiveness? They're not even sorry. You know, the people at the foot of the cross weren't sorry, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Our choice today is to believe Jesus and do what he says. Forgive. We've been forgiven, so let's freely forgive. And I started that sentence today because I do not deserve to be forgiven. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And yet, every word and thought and deed that I have thought or done, everything I have done to injure people I love and those far from God has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And he now commands me, forgive those who have injured you. One of my favorite groups is called the Sidewalk Prophets, and they say it this way. "I am the man who yelled out from the crowd for your blood to be spilled. I turned away with a smile on my face. With this sin in my heart, I tried to bury your grace, but you love me anyway." And that's the truth. God's love for us is beyond our comprehension. Forgiving others spares us from the consequence of living with an unforgiving spirit. Go back to Luke chapter 6. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. But again, forgiveness doesn't justify their deeds. Forgiving is simply a way for our healing to begin. And total forgiveness will begin in our lives when we ask God, our Father, to forgive us. That's the message of the New Testament. That's the message this church was planted with, that we are a priesthood of believers, and our job is to go out and proclaim the message of reconciliation. We are called to help people far from God find their way back to him. And a spirit of unforgiveness will compromise and complicate our daily walk with Jesus. And so that's why God wants us to forgive. It releases us. It releases our anger. It allows us to receive the healing that we need. The reason that God wants us to forgive is he does not want anything to separate us from him. Let's look at the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you have against one another." Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Leave today and know this. Forgiveness is not foolishness. Foolishness would be to release the bitterness in our heart over what someone has done, thinking we can do it in our own strength. We cannot. This is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit in our heart. Now, forgiveness is not reconciliation. I am not saying you're going to spend vacations with these people that you have had a long time of unforgiveness with, but it could happen. I heard the most beautiful story just a few moments ago of a man who had killed a little girl when he was drunk, and her mother forgave him and went to the jail and preached the gospel, and he now goes and shares God's love. We do not know what's possible with the power of the Holy Spirit. But forgiveness also doesn't mean closing our eyes to the sin around us. And that's why we are here for you, Harbor. If there is a pain that you're walking through, we want to walk with you and help you get to a healthy place, because boundaries are important and necessary. Forgiveness is simply realizing that we cannot live with bitterness and peace. Your soul only has space for one. Do we want to live lives with bitterness or with peace? Forgiveness is the way. So what are some steps for you? If you want someone to pray, we will be here at the end of service and pray with you. If you want to fill it out on a connection card, our compassionate care team will connect with you and be with you. If you want to come on Tuesday night, we meet one room over and we pray every week. I don't know what your next step is. So in the next moments, Eric's going to play for a few moments, and I'm going to ask you to ask God, what is my next step? And then after a few moments, I'm going to ask you to read with me a prayer on the screen. And Harbor, I know God is going to take these seeds of faith and multiply them, and his kingdom will advance because he loves us so. Will you pray? Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, I need your help to forgive. I believe there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Just as you have freely forgiven me, with your power, I forgive the one who has sinned against me. Father, I ask you to forgive me for hurting others out of my own hurt and to heal my relationships with others. I pray all of this in Jesus' precious name, and by whom all forgiveness and healing is possible. Thank you for loving me in ways I'll never comprehend. In Jesus' name, amen.